The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So the woman, when she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You may be seated. The victory has been won. We just sang that in the mighty fortress. And yet there's still a fight. Now, both of those statements are true as you go through this life as a Christian. You have the victory over the devil, over temptation, over death, over sin. Yet you face and fight these things in this life. But you see, as a Christian, you face these things as one who has the victory in Jesus. Jesus has overcome them for you. He has answered for your sin on the cross. And he teaches you, as his people, to fight and live by faith as his people he has redeemed. Now, this Sunday in the church year, Lent, the first Sunday in Lent, we hear about temptation. And we see that it comes from three places in your lives: your fallen flesh, the world, and the devil. And all of these sources are deadly, and they seek to tear you away from Christ, his church, and your salvation. Temptation seeks to take you away from God and toward these things. And as a Christian, you have the victory in Christ, but God warns you lest you fall prey to these things and perish eternally. So temptation is something to take seriously. It's no joke. It's a fight. It's a struggle. Being a Christian doesn't make you immune to temptation. In reality, you have a target on you as a baptized child of God. And now the difference then between the unbeliever and the Christian is that the Christian sees the danger and he fights against it. The terrifying thing is when someone no longer thinks he needs to repent, or he goes about his life blissfully ignorant or willfully oblivious to the fact that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour him. And you can almost hear the sinister chuckles of the devil when people think they are beyond spiritual things. The devil has it easy when people want to be the skeptic or to write the devil off as myth. A common phrase you'll hear thrown around and even in movies is something to the effect of, the greatest trick the devil ever played is getting people to think he doesn't exist. And that's not necessarily wrong. And another point that goes along with it would be when the devil gets people to let their guards down or just not care at all. Asceticism is called the noonday devil, and it's related to the deadly sin of sloth. Really, it's what that deadly sin is. And it's not the cute fuzzy animal that climbs around in trees, but it has this sense of apathy to it. Not caring, just sitting, and just putting the struggle against the devil and temptation aside as playing with deadly fire. So God warns you about the struggle, so pay attention and fight. In the Large Catechism, we confess, we Christians must be armed and daily expect to be constantly attacked. No one may go on in security and carelessly as though the devil were far from us. At all times, we must expect and block his blows. Though I am now chaste, patient, kind, and in firm faith, the devil will this very hour send such an arrow into my heart that I can scarcely stand. For he is an enemy that never stops or becomes tired. So when one temptation stops, there always arises others and fresh ones. So there is no help or comfort except to run here, take hold of the Lord's Prayer, and speak to God from the heart like this. Dear Father, you have asked me to pray. Don't let me fall because of temptations. Then you will see that the temptations must stop and finally confess themselves conquered. If you try to help yourself by your own thoughts and counsel, you will only make the matter worse and give the devil more space. For he has a serpent's head. If it finds an opening into which it can slip, the whole body will follow without stopping. But prayer can prevent him and drive him back. Those words of Luther in the Large Catechism are vivid and has that image of a serpent, right? Getting his head in and then slithering in all the way. So look at Jesus today in this gospel reading. See what he does. See what he says. The gospel reading started off with a short statement. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And you know, in those few words, there's great comfort about what your Lord has done for you and what this now means for you as his people. So if you remember, this is right after the baptism of Jesus. Jesus then was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Mark's account of the baptism of Jesus has the Spirit led him, or really throws him into the wilderness. He goes out into the wilderness, and there he is, the devil to tempt the Lord. The Lord was really there in that place. He stood face to face with the devil himself. And Jesus is true God and true man. The reading from Hebrews says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So seeing Jesus face temptation in this reading, when you hear this every year, when you hear this account, it's to see your brother in the flesh face it. So when you face temptation in your sin, you face it as ones who are slaves to sin and held captive to the devil. And this is why you fight. But the victory has been won as you belong to Christ. Because Jesus is without sin, and he cannot sin. So you see him and that he overcame these assaults as only he can do. And now in Christ, you have this victory. His active obedience, his actively fulfilling and overcoming these things, and his faithfulness to the Father is now counted to you through faith in him. And as a baptized child of God, you not only have the victory, but when you face temptation, you face it in Christ as one who is no longer a slave to sin, death, and the devil. That's who your new man is in Jesus. So he faced temptation as God in the flesh. He suffered the assaults of the devil as the victorious one. So you think about that. You ponder that. The Son of God underwent temptation by the devil. And he did so as one who knows what it is to suffer and endure. He was tempted in every way that you are in this life, but he never once entertained the notion to fall into sin. No, he stands face to face, nose to nose with the devil in the wilderness, and overcomes him by his faithfulness and the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And that's the mind that you have as a Christian and as you go through this life. It's the mind of Christ. And you see in this, too, the importance of knowing God's Word, the importance of memorizing the Scripture and knowing your catechism, which confesses the Scripture, of knowing what God's Word says. Because you see and you use these weapons against the devil, the world, and your fallen flesh. This is what it means to remember your baptism daily, that you daily turn from your sin and desire to live the new life that you have been given in Christ. And part of this new life is using that fruit of the Spirit that God has given to you, that new life that he has given to you, and those things like goodness, faithfulness, patience, and self-control. So how can you stand up to temptation and use the sword of the Spirit if you never pick up the sword? And wisdom and discernment come from this too, from being a student of God's word and living out your life. Because when we talk about temptation, we're not talking about some abstract notion. No, how this plays out practically is for you to always fix your eyes on Christ. As Christians, you are wise as serpents, yet innocent as doves. You don't put yourselves into situations where you're going to be led into temptation and away from Christ and his word. You ask those diagnostic questions before you undertake things in your life. You receive the Lord's Supper regularly. You confess your sin, receive absolution. And another thing, too, with this as Christians is who you surround yourself with in this life. It's always been important, but especially when you're growing up and as adults, to surround yourself with good Christian friends who share the same faith as you do. Because together, we are the body of Christ. We're not out alone on an island. The body of Christ cares for one another. And sometimes you need a fellow Christian to look you in the eyes and tell you to repent or warn you. Having a good Christian friend who knows what temptation is, who knows where it comes from, is vitally important. And good Christian friendship goes beyond just someone you like to hang out with. That's important to be sure. But people who themselves are concerned about the things of God, who talk about these things, who rejoice in the fellowship that you have together, as the Holy Spirit has gathered you together as his holy people. And this is who we are as the church. And most importantly, a Christian friend and Christian brothers and sisters in Christ are going to forgive you. They're going to comfort you. And they're going to give you the forgiveness of Christ and point you back to your Lord when you do sin and when you do fall. And so along with this, prayer is another weapon against the devil. Christians pray. And we do, and the devil knows this all too well, and he likes to attack in full force. God calls you to pray without ceasing. He doesn't call you to pray when convenient or when you feel like it, or when you tried everything else, and now you just think that you'll give this a try. No, you are to pray every day, whenever possible, for all circumstances. But you know this too, that even as you pray, and God promises to hear you, that he himself prays for you. And sometimes as Romans 8 teaches us, with groanings too deep for words, God prays for you even as you pray. And fasting in this reading is used by Jesus as well. He denies himself in order to discipline the body and to rely on the care of God more, for man does not live by bread alone. If there is something in this life that's keeping you from God or trying to tear you away from him, examine what this is and why this is the case. And examine your life, too, and know where you struggle and know where danger and sin crouch at the door seeking to devour you, where your sinful flesh likes to rear its ugly head. This is where self-control that God has given to you and wisdom come into play. An alcoholic knows not to walk into a bar and order a drink. Someone struggling with sexual sin doesn't put himself into situations that can get out of hand. This is a war. So know the tactics of your own sinful flesh, the fallen world around you, and the devil. Don't be easy prey. Don't be a sitting duck. That's not what you've learned from Christ. That's not who you have been called to be as a baptized child of God. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is one of the most often misquoted passages of Scripture, but it applies here in what it really says regarding temptation. It says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So that passage is not saying God won't give you what you can't handle. He's talking about temptation. And he's teaching you that God is the one who delivers you. He's the one who provides the escape, even as he has taught you to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so this fight is real, but the victory has been won. Those words of the intro at today speak volumes to you about who you are facing temptation as a Christian. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. So what does this mean? View temptation through Christ's victory. See his rebuke of the devil. And see the discipline of Jesus is the discipline of a father to the son, and you are sons of God through faith in Christ. So even as you face temptation, you see what the result and outcome is as you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. You know how this all ends. You see in Christ that you have the victory won for you already, and that God gives it to you. The Lord gives you this in the waters of your baptism. He gives it to you. As he says today, your sin is forgiven through his word, through his supper. And not only that, but God tells you that he is going to strengthen you, that he preserves you, that he guards and keeps you as his own through his own word. And he holds before your eyes Jesus, who in weakness, who in hunger, who in great suffering is the one whose life is always fully righteous and obedient to the Father and the law of God. Adam failed. We heard that in the fall into sin in the Genesis 3 reading. The people in the wilderness who came out of Egypt failed. You failed in your life. But Jesus, he did not nor could he fall, for he is the Son of God. And baptized into Christ, you have the victory. And so when you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're praying as one who belongs to Christ and is covered with his righteousness. The very one who is perfectly obedient, who has overcome the devil, who has died for your sin, who gives you the victory over death itself. He sees you in your suffering, and he truly knows and sympathizes with you, and he prays for you at the throne of God. So when you hear that, think about that. See the temptation of Jesus and see that's your victory. There's me overcoming the devil. There's me overcoming these things because Jesus has done it for me. And see the Lord who fights for you. See his faithfulness. And know that when he was staring the devil square in the eyes, he was doing it for you. He endured it all so that you would have the victory, and by his obedience, through faith in him, you have all that he has won. And that's the wonderful thing in all of this. That's the comfort that is in seeing this. And what in Galatians 2, God tells us who we are. As he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You're a new creation in Christ. And your life is hidden in him and clothed with himself, clothed with all that he has done, all that he has won, all that he's overcome. So when you face temptation in this life, then, don't try to match wits with the devil, the world, and your fallen flesh. Don't try to make excuses and think you can handle all this because you can't. But know and trust God. Make the sign of the cross. Cover yourself. Make the sign of the cross and remember that you're baptized. I'm baptized into Christ. Devil, go take a flying leap. Pray to God for deliverance. Sing great hymns with real meaty doctrine that teach you the faith and how to confess the faith. These are the weapons that you have. And know that you're not alone, that together you're the body of Christ. You're the church. Not even the gates of hell will prevail against God's people. And your Lord has done it. And you have access to God at all times, especially when you face temptation and suffering. That reading from Hebrews said this: "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So you think about that as well, that when you see God's throne, it's a throne of grace. Why? Because Jesus is your high priest, who intercedes for you by means of his blood, shed as the sacrifice for your sin. So in times of need, God doesn't just sit there and look down and say, "Let's see what's going to happen." No, he shows you mercy. He helps you. In times when you do fall short, confess your sin, repent. Go to his throne of grace because you have an advocate with the Father in Jesus, whose blood cleanses you from all sin. In faith, hear God's word as one who hears the voice of the stronger man, the victor in all of this. And he has given you his word, which pierces through the voices of temptation and instead speaks the words, "Your sin is forgiven." That's what God says to you. And so, dear Christians, God the Lord is your God and he fights for you. The battle indeed is the Lord's and he is the victor. This is who he is, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. He has accomplished for it for you, and baptized into Christ, you have everything. As a Christian, you are no longer a slave to sin, death, and the devil. And you go through this life with the confidence of Christ that clings to him and the mercy alone, and his mercy alone. And it looks forward to the day when all temptation comes to an end. And it will. Because the day is coming when your Lord will come and take you to be with himself. And so until that day, go through this world as one who sees these things through the lens of victory, the lens of Christ crucified, who for you is your great high priest. And go to his throne of grace. Hold fast your confession, knowing that you will not be abandoned, knowing that you will not be forsaken by him who has done all things well, even overcoming temptation for you, even overcoming the devil. And in all of this, each and every day, know what your future holds. You know how this ends already. You just heard it a few minutes ago. You already have the victory, and you have life forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.